We're beginning a new series today. We're still going through the book of Ephesians. The title of this message is Putting It Off, How to Bury the Old Man. This will be part one. We're still going through Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the Epistle of Ascension, continuing our journey through that, putting it off. And I'm not talking about procrastination. I was going to do a series on that, but I never got around to it. Putting it off, how to bury the old man. Now, when I say old man, I'm talking about the old you. The old man you used to be before Christ, before you became the new you. The subtitle of today's message is The Devil Wears Falsehood. We're going to be talking about integrity, honesty, truth, and community. So we're going to see three things today. What not to wear, what to wear, and why you wear it. What not to wear, putting off falsehood. What to wear, putting on truth, and why you wear it. And we'll talk a little bit about community. And let's begin by reading our text. So turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, we'll start in verse 25. We'll go to the end of the chapter. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This is God's holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word. Let's quickly remember what led up to this text today. What did Paul say before this? Paul, a prisoner for the Lord, urged his readers to walk worthy of the calling to which they were called. He reminded them to bear with one another. He told them right away, bear with one another in love and to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul reminded them of the unity and diversity that is only truly realized in our triune God. He explained the purpose of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He warned them not to act like immature children who are tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. He said we should instead speak the truth in love because we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's verse 15. In our text today, he's returning to this issue of speaking the truth and speaking the truth in love. He also, in chapter 4, told the Ephesians to no longer walk like the Gentiles walk, like the nations walk. They should no longer be darkened in their understanding or alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They should no longer be callous or given up to sensuality. Paul told them to put off their old self, their old man, put off their old self, which belonged to their former manner of life. He told them to be renewed in the spirit of their minds, and also to put on their new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, in our text today, he begins to explain the nitty-gritty of what it means to put off the old self and what it means to put on the new. He's going to start to get a lot more practical, and what does that look like? It's easy to just say put off and put on. But what does that look like in the real world with real people who have real lives and real problems? Paul has already painted a very dark picture of what the old man looked like. Now he's going to start describing the new man, the new self, the new humanity in Christ. All of chapter 4, really, all of chapter 4 has been about how we are to walk worthy of our calling and how we need to be true to who we are in Christ, how to be true to who we are in Christ. He's been telling us to not live a lie. Don't live a lie. When we were baptized into the name and covenant of Christ, we became a new creation. When we wander back into the old manner of living, we're living a lie. In fact, all of chapter 4 has really been about truth, living and walking and speaking and thinking the truth. And I really hope and pray that you will be open to hear from God today. All of us, to one degree or another, are not all that we pretend to be. We all lie about who we really and truly are, and we always seem to think that fig leaves keep us hidden from God and from each other. We are all undercover, and we are all wearing masks. None of us are completely authentic. None of us are completely truthful. We speak lies, live a lie, lie low, and in the shadows. If you actually want to claim that you claim to be completely and absolutely truthful and honest in what you say and how you live, then you're a liar. And you just proved yourself wrong. Psalms 12, verse 2 says, "Everyone utters lies to his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak." Everyone. We are all con men, conning ourselves and others, and even trying to con God. I want you all to let down your guard, drop your defenses, take off your masks, and be ready to receive and hear from God. Our old self was put off and put away. And yet we do everything we can to protect him and hide him from the light of God's word. Paul says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." We're in ninth commandment territory here. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Not only do we bear false witness against our neighbor, we also bear false witness for our own personal self-interests. God is pure. God is holy. God is true. Everything we do needs to be characterized by purity, holiness, and truth. When we're not who we pretend to be, we violate God's law and take his name in vain. We take on his name in our baptism, and when we walk like the Gentiles walk, we forget our baptism and we take his name in vain. Hypocrisy is something that Jesus, who was the truth, made flesh. Hypocrisy is something that he came strongly against. He vigorously attacked. Hypocrisy, according to the wise sage of modern times, Wikipedia, is an unconscious self-contradiction, a state of incongruence between one's professed beliefs and feelings and one's actual beliefs and feelings, or an application of a criticism to others that one does not apply to oneself. Strong's Concordance defines hypocrite as an actor under an assumed character, a stage player, figuratively a dissembler. A hypocrite is one who pretends to be someone he is not. He's an actor, a movie star, someone who is an actor or an Academy Award winner. We'll call him Oscar. Okay. Paul tells the former Gentiles that they are no longer movie stars, they're no longer actors or stage players, they are now in covenant with the Creator of the stars. Going back into your old role is simple and sneaky hypocrisy and falsehood. Our new reality in Christ is truly our new reality. Oscar is now a saint, and he must not dabble in his old roles. Paul says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Psalms chapter 26, verse 4 through 5 says, I do not sit with men of falsehood. I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. We say, yeah, well, I won't do that either. But how many times do we really do that when we're sitting in front of a movie screen or a TV screen or a computer screen? How many times do we sit with men of falsehood? Paul begins our text with the word, therefore, in verse 25. And as you know, when we see the word therefore, we have to ask, what is it therefore? Some of your translations might say, wherefore. When you see that, you ask, what is it therefore? Therefore, or so then, or consequently, or for that reason, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Paul is transitioning from the principles and precepts of the faith being renewed in our minds and putting on the new man, the new life in Christ, to the personal practice of our faith. So the principle of our faith, he's transitioning to the practice of our faith. He moves from the generalities to specific applications from verse 25 all the way till chapter 6, verse 9. As one preacher put it, Paul goes from preaching to meddling, listing specific sins that characterize the life of the old man and correspondingly godly behavior of the new man. The word therefore marks the beginning of Paul getting very practical. Having explained our position in Christ, he's now going to explain our practice in Christ. We've seen our privileges, now let's change our behavior. He showed us who we are in Christ, now he tells us what it looks like when Christ is in us, or what it should look like. He described how God sees us, and now he's describing how the world should see us in our new clothes. Yes, we are believers, but we should also be behaviors, right? Behaviors. And what better behavior could Paul have started with than honesty and integrity? If we are going to be who we are in Christ, why not begin with putting away falsehood? Because we have put off the old man and have put on the new man through our covenantal union with and in Christ, we should demonstrate this amazing reversal that happened through Christ. We should demonstrate this in our everyday lives, in our living. Paul says, don't live a lie and don't speak lies. Having put away that falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth. Paul does not say, go get some psychological counseling in order to overcome the dysfunctional tendency to exaggerate and miscommunicate. He simply says, stop it. Stop. Having put that away, start speaking the truth. Quit it. Stop lying. Put that away. Bury the old man, the old self, the old lying liar with his pants on fire. Bury that dude. The phrase put away was used literally of those that ran in the Olympic Games who would cast off their clothes and run naked. They didn't have spandex back then. Paul says, stop doing what you had become so accustomed to doing. Throw it off like you would old, foul, filthy, stinky clothes. The word integrity in Noah Webster's dictionary means wholeness, entireness, unbroken state, the entire unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind, moral soundness or purity, incorruptness, uprightness, honesty, purity, genuine, unadulterated, unimpaired state as the integrity of language. So integrity is what Paul has been talking about all throughout chapter 4. Being the new you, the real you, all of you being consistent, being unadulterated, genuine, pure, walking the walk and not walking like the Gentiles. Honesty and wholeness and purity. No ulterior motives, no phoniness or faking. Proverbs 20, verse 10 says, unequal weights and unequal measures are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Our God desires integrity. He demands integrity. The secret, I've said before, the secret to being a saint is to be a saint in secret. The secret to being a saint is to be a saint in secret. Your true character is revealed by what you do when no one's looking, right? So Paul says, put off falsehood. So the first point in our outline today is what not to wear, putting off falsehood. Put away falsehood. Why? Because the devil wears falsehood. That's not what a saint wears. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says this, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Paul says in our text, you are no longer without hope and without God in the world. You are no longer alienated from the life of God. You are a child of God. So quit acting like a child of the devil. You're a child of God. Put away falsehood. The devil wears falsehood. Get rid of it. Falsehood covers a lot more than just telling a lie. You may think that if I don't say a lie, then I'm not walking in falsehood, or I put it away. But it covers more than that. The Greek word pseudos describes an untrue statement, an intentional violation of the truth, a lie, or a deception. Pseudos is conscious and intentional falsehood. In a broad sense, it is whatever is not what it seems to be or professes to be. It's the antithesis of truth. One way to wear falsehood, to walk in falsehood, is to not speak at all, to not say anything. When you remain silent and give your tacit consent, you lie without ever speaking a word. Sometimes when you don't talk at all, you're lying. You're giving your approval by just not saying anything. When someone's saying something or doing something that you know is wrong and that you're against, and if you just keep quiet, if you remain silent, you're lying without ever saying a word. Your silence will be automatically interpreted by everyone else as your approval. Silence is often nothing but filthy cowardice and falsehood. Paul says, having put away falsehood, let's speak the truth with his neighbor. Lies and falsehood are inherited from birth. Part of our fallen nature is to automatically lie. Do it naturally, automatically. Just like weeds grow automatically in the garden. Psalms 58, verse 3 says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb." The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. Like we said before, you never have to train your children how to lie. They're born knowing how. They just do it automatically. You don't have to plant weeds in the garden. They just grow automatically because of our fallen nature in Adam. Speaking of Adam and the fall, let's consider what happened there real quickly. The minute Adam and Eve sinned and decided that they were smarter than God, something happened. Something happened. The very first thing that happened after the fall was hiding. They hid. They hid. When God drew near in the garden, when he was in the garden, they were hiding from him. They were also hiding from one another. They were no longer naked and not ashamed. They were hiding behind the fruit of the loom fig leaves they had. And to the degree that you want to be independent and make your own rules and have it your own way is the degree that you will be cut off and hidden and hiding from other people and from God. You can't let them see who you really are. You're hiding it. You can't be vulnerable, and you must be deceitful and secretive and in the shadows. When God asked Adam, just like I asked my little son Noah, what did you do? What did Adam do? He blamed Eve. The woman you gave me, it was her fault. And Eve blamed the serpent, as you know. Instead of confessing what they did, instead of confessing their sin, they rationalized and excused what they did. They not only put on fig leaves, they also put on falsehood. They lied. It wasn't the Eve that made him do it. It was his fault. It wasn't the serpent. It was her choice. They not only put on fig leaves, they put on falsehood. As someone once said, to rationalize is to tell rational lies. Christ came to reverse this curse. He came to reverse it. He raised us from our spiritual death and told us to take off our old burial clothes and be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, just as Adam and Eve were clothed in the skin of an animal. The sacrifice of the animal had to be made. Fallen man hides in darkness. This is what we looked at earlier in chapter 4 of Ephesians. The Gentiles are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, willful ignorance, due to their hardness of heart. They do not love the light. They hate the light because the light exposes their darkness, their sin. They do not love the light. They lie to God, to others, and to themselves. They walk in darkness and in falsehood. Now, one example of walking in falsehood is what kids say to their parents. You won't buy me that because you don't love me. You don't really love me. That's why you're not going to buy it for me. Or you won't let me go because you don't love me. Those are just lies that we tell kids tell themselves. I don't think my kids have really said that, but I'm sure they thought it. He's not letting me go because he doesn't love me. He hates me. All the other kids have one, so you must hate me because you won't buy me one. This is all part of wearing falsehood. We do this with God, our Heavenly Father. God, if you really love me, you would have never let this happen to me. Sound familiar? We all do this. We walk in falsehood. Worry and stress is a result of the lie that says God doesn't know what he's doing. God doesn't know what he's doing with my life. Being fallen, our first automatic reaction to struggles in life is to speak negative assertions as if they were already true, to lie. We say as if it's true already. We lie in our own heads. Yes, bad things happen and could happen, but we get anxiety and anxious over what might not happen and over what inevitably will happen. The answer is in the truth about God and who he is, who God is. The only way to put away falsehood is to love the truth. Love the truth about who God is, to love God. The only way to really put away falsehood is to remember who God is. If you remember that God is omniscient, God is, or let's say omnipotent, God is all-powerful. So I don't have to lie or be dishonest in order to defend myself. He defends me. He's all-powerful. I don't have to lie when I understand who God is. He's omnipotent. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. So I can't hide from him. He sees me whether I'm covering my own eyes or not. He sees everything I'm doing. The only thing that will hide your sin from God is the righteousness and blood of Christ. That's it. God is love. So I don't have to pretend I'm someone else in order for him to accept me in Christ and welcome me into his house and at his table. I don't have to put on a mask when I put on Jesus Christ. I don't have to cover myself in shame when I'm covered and washed by the blood. But is it always a sin to lie? You might ask. Let's talk about that real quickly. You all know there are a few examples of godly saints who lied in the Bible. A godly saint can still feel constrained to lie in extreme life-threatening situation. Two examples that most of you know. The first is the Hebrew midwives. In Exodus 1, the Egyptian Pharaoh was attacking God's covenant people by killing their firstborn sons. By the way, most abortions today still are firstborn sons, the majority. Pharaoh says to the Hebrew midwives in verse 16, "When you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live." When the king of Egypt asked them why they didn't do this, they answered in verse 19, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. And verse 20 through 21 says, so God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew and very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. They were definitely lying, no matter how vigorous the Hebrew women were, in the sense that they led Pharaoh to believe a falsehood. And they were blessed. God looks at their heart motivation behind the actions. And verse 17 says they did what they did out of fear of God. Verse 17 says, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So yes, they lied, but it was an extreme life-threatening situation. It was an exception to the rule, not the rule. Rahab and the two spies is another example. Spies in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua sent two men to spy out Jericho, and the king of Jericho found out that they were there, so they hid in the house of Rahab, the harlot. Verse 6 says that she took them to her roof and covered them with stalks of flax. When the king's messengers come to Rahab's house and inquire about the men, she lies to them. She lies. Verse 4 through 5 says, but the women had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. She's like, hurry up, go get them. She was lying to them. Again, this is another extreme life-threatening situation. Warfare is another example of a time to lie. Deception is one of the keys to victory in warfare. When it's a life and death situation, someone is opposing evil, sometimes it is a necessary thing to do. But that should not cause us to think that we're off the hook and that we do not need to put away falsehood. That's the exception to the rule. We can't take those verses and say, see, lying's not such a big deal. I don't really have to worry about it too much. These godly people in the Bible even lied, so what's the big deal? We must remind ourselves how strongly the majority of the verses in the Bible speak against lying. Turn to Proverbs. Let's look at a few just in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, starting in verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Notice in the list of six things that God hates, two of them are lying. Lying is mentioned twice. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, verse 17. Proverbs 12, 17. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. And then verse 19 through 22. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. No ill befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Notice the antithesis in verse 22 between lying lips and acting faithfully. Acting and walking faithfully is antithetical to lying lips. Paul says, walk in a worthy manner and not like the Gentiles who wear falsehood. Don't walk like that any longer. Having put that away, speak the truth. And then Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. Proverbs 20, 17 says, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth is full of gravel. Lying and deceiving may give you temporary satisfaction or help you to gain something, but eventually it will be disgusting and annoying as a mouthful of gravel. So maybe instead of washing the kid's mouth out with soap, oh, that might be dangerous. Now, this is the big verse. This is the strongest one, I think, in the Bible. Revelations 21. I'll just read it to you. Verse 7 and 8. Revelations 21, 7 through 8. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. That is a strong warning against lying. Liar, liar, pants on fire, and a mouth full of gravel. It's a bad, abominable thing to God to lie. It's no small thing. Our God is truth. God is truth. And having put away falsehood, we must speak the truth. And this brings us back to our text, our second point. We saw that what not to wear, putting off falsehood. Now Paul's next point is this, what to wear, putting on truth. Paul says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. It's not enough to just not lie. You can't just say, I didn't lie, I didn't say anything, I'm good. It's not enough to just put off falsehood. We also must put on something. Paul says, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Obeying the thou shalt not verses is to conquer. But obeying the thou shalt verses is to be more than conquerors in Christ. Paul says, having put away falsehood in the past tense. Having done that first, it's time to start doing this. Speaking the truth with one another. We speak the truth with our lips, but we also speak the truth with our lives, as we talked about earlier. In the same way, we lie with our lips as well as with our lives. You cannot help but speak, even if you remain silent. The only question is, what you're wearing? Are you wearing falsehood or are you wearing truth? In regards to the fact that having put away falsehood is past tense, as in already been done, James Boyce writes this. This is an important point. The apostle is not merely urging a new and higher standard of morality on people. That is an utterly futile thing. We cannot be genuinely better by mere moral suasion. That is not it at all. Rather, Paul is demanding a high form of behavior precisely because something decisive has already taken place. We have already been made new in Christ. That is why we should and must act like it. We, like Lazarus, have been brought out of death into life by Christ. As part of that spiritual miracle, our old grave clothes, which were appropriate for a corpse, but not for a living body, have been taken off and have been reclothed in wedding garments in preparation for the great wedding supper of the Lamb. From this point on, we should act like members of the wedding party. Unquote. The old man is gone, so quit acting like he's not. Put on truth. Love the truth. Speak the truth. Think truthfully. The old nature is given to lying because it is corrupt and enslaved to desires that are based on deceit. Chapter 4, verse 22 talks about deceitful desires. So Paul says, having put away falsehood, part of the old nature, put on the new nature, the nature created by God and marked by righteousness and holiness that come from truth. And this is part of what Paul meant in verse 23 by renewing your mind. Your mind should be so filled with truth that falsehood is put away. Out of the truth will come righteousness and holiness, including speaking the truth with your neighbor. Samuel Johnson wrote, It is more from carelessness about truth than from intentional lying that there is so much falsehood in the world. It is more from carelessness about truth than from intentional lying that there is so much falsehood in the world. The question is, do we love truth more than we love our own safety or our own approval ratings? Speaking the truth is an act of faith. We lie because of greed and fear. We lie because of greed and fear. We lie because we are greedy for attention or approval or money or power. We also lie because we fear. We fear losing personal esteem or getting caught. We fear getting caught, or we fear getting physically hurt, something the martyrs were willing to go through rather than speak one lie. Speaking the truth takes faith in God's sovereignty and in His goodness, a faith that compels us to speak the truth in spite of personal consequences or personal disadvantages. Greed and fear cause us to lie, and faith causes us to speak the truth with our neighbor. As we saw in Revelations, the cowardly, the faithless, and all liars will have their portion in the lake of fire. Does that mean that we're all headed for the lake of fire? Because we've all lied, as I began with. Not if we have put on Christ. Not if we're covered by the righteousness of Christ. But having put on Christ, who is the truth, having put away falsehood, Paul says, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Speak the truth with boldness and speak the truth in love. Both of those are important. With boldness and in love. Boldness without love makes you an irritating jerk when you speak the truth. Love without boldness makes you a pusillanimous wuss. When a person is baptized into Christ and has put on Christ, he steps out of the domain of falsehood and into the domain of truth, and every form of lying is therefore completely inconsistent with his new self. Telling the truth, though, is not the same thing as telling everything you know. You don't have to just say everything and, get it all over the place. Some people open their mouths when they have something worth saying, but others open their mouth just so they can say something. Sometimes it's best to hold your tongue. I mean, just picture, for an example, a real ugly kid. I know it's hard to picture anything ugly when you're looking at me, but by all normal standards, let's say some kids are ugly. You don't just, I got to speak the truth, that kid is ugly. Sometimes you don't want to do that. Yes, honey, the dress looks beautiful on you. Sometimes there are legitimate secrets that you must keep to yourself and keep confidential. We also don't need to dump all our ill feelings about someone, even if it's true, just to unburden ourselves. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, transgressions is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Sometimes it's prudent to keep your lips shut, and sometimes it's a sin and falsehood. Having put away falsehood, we also have a definite duty to speak the truth. John Eady writes this, Christians are to speak the whole truth without distortion, diminution, or exaggeration. No promise is to be falsified, no mutual understanding violated. The word of a Christian ought to be his bond, every syllable being but the expression of the truth in the inward parts. The sacred majesty of truth is ever to characterize and hallow all his communications. So we've seen what not to wear, putting off falsehood, what to wear, putting on truth, and finally why you wear it, community, church. Paul says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Why? For we are members one of another. The word neighbor is defined here by the phrase, for we are members one of another. Paul is writing to the saints who are no longer Gentiles. He's telling covenant members of the body of Christ to speak the truth with one another. Why was the old man put away along with falsehood? Because we are members one of another. Why should we speak the truth? Because we are members one of another. If any group of people ever needed to hear the truth and speak the truth with each other, it's in the body of Christ. It's the people of God. We're members of one body. Your physical body wouldn't function if your right foot lied to your left foot, right? If your members of your body, your parts of your body lied to each other, your body would not function. If your right foot told your left foot it was turning left when it was really turning right, you might end up doing the splits or something. You know, you're tripping yourself. Communication among, truthful communication among members of your own physical body is vital to the health of your physical body. Our physical bodies cannot function properly or safely if each member does not correctly communicate to the others. We are to always speak the truth with all people, but with believers, members of the body. We have a special motive to be truthful because we're members one of another. What you do affects me, and what I do affects you. We need to be honest and truthful with one another because we're members one of another. This was the problem with leprosy, and we talked about that in the last few messages. Injuries, disease, and other afflictions destroy the body because nerves fail to send danger signals to the signals of pain to the mind. Paul said back in verse 19 that we ought not to be callous like the Gentiles. Callous meaning spiritually leprous or insensitive to pain. Communication is key to a healthy body, even at the cellular level. The everything in the body, if the body's not communicating, it's not functioning. And since we're members of one body, it's important that we speak the truth with one another, especially. We, of all people in the body of Christ, should not suffer from miscommunication. We are members one of another in a divine community. We partake of communion together at the King's table in the King's house. It is vital for us to speak the truth with one another in love. Let's close by looking at Colossians. This is a parallel passage of Ephesians. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Similar to our passage in Ephesians. In fact, let me read that one more time. We'll just go through our text in closing. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the truth in your word. We thank you for opening it up to us, Father. Thank you for making it available to us so that we can see the light in your light, Father. We just thank you for the light of your word that shines on our path. We thank you for putting off falsehood from us, Father. We ask that you give us the strength to speak the truth, the boldness to speak the truth, the love to speak the truth with one another, Father. We thank you for making us members one of another, making us one through your Son, making us one covenantally with one another and with you. We give you all praise and honor. We thank you for being our God, the God of truth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.